Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Hello, hello. So, I guess we can start. Is it working? Hello, hello.
Quiet, please. We're about to start the next presentation, guys.
Hello. So, welcome, everybody. Can you hear me? Good? Can you hear me? Okay, great. Hello. So, I am Francesco. I'm here to talk about installing Debian on an industrial embedded device. What I mean with an industrial embedded device, let's say, if not a consumer device. So, it's a device that you might find into in industrial automation, building automation, or an agricultural machine, not a Raspberry Pi, okay? And I am an embedded Linux engineer. I'm working with U-Boot Linux and Open Embedded, and using Debian since a very long time. And this is my distribution of choice, but I'm not working with Debian daily. So what we will cover today, why this started? I had some hardware available, I mean, that's because it's my job, something like that, okay? That I normally work with this with Open Embedded, and I was wondering, why can't I just install Debian on it, okay? It's well supported by the upstream Linux kernel, everything is in place. What is preventing me to just install it, okay? And this is where it all started, and this is a little bit a talk, which challenges I had, and how I was able to get there. We will mainly talk about ARM and ARM64 devices. We will focus on the U-Boot bootloader, and the focus really here is about installing vanilla Debian. So there are a lot of ways you can install Debian. Debian is running everywhere, not invented by myself. The focus here is really about doing, just following the instruction and getting it done. So just to set a little bit of the stage, a little bit of overview how an embedded system, but also any system boots today. After the system on chip, the CPU get out of reset, the hardware get configured in some way. This part can be really, really complicated. And at some point, the firmware needs to load the operating system. What it does, it needs to figure out where is the kernel, it needs to figure out, in our case, where is the device tree, and put everything in memory prepared, and then jump into the kernel entry point. We will really focus on this step here about preparing the binaries and jumping to the kernel. This is our focus for this talk. Something that is important to mention and will make our life easier is where is the firmware stored in flash. Traditionally, on your PC, you have an SPI NOR flash. That is where your UEFI is stored, and this is completely out of band. This is not where you are going to install your operating system. Okay? On embedded device, it depends. Sometimes, for cost saving, you have only one device in which you store everything, the firmware and the operating system. Sometimes, they are separated. The hardware that I am going to consider today is using eMMC. eMMC have very nice features that allows to do hardware partitioning. And normally they have a dedicated partition for the boot firmware. And this really enables to not have to wonder about overwriting my firmware while doing the installation of the operating system. This is not possible, for example, using an SD card like you would do with a Raspberry Pi. A Raspberry Pi is booting from an SD card, and then you cannot really do that. And this makes a little bit the stuff more complicated. Good. So in our case, our firmware is, as I said, the U-Boot. U-Boot is a platform firmware. It supports a lot of architecture. In the end, it configures the hardware, as I said before, and then it is able to load the Linux kernel. Traditionally, I mean, let's say the past millennium, this was very coupled with the operating system that was loaded. Sometime, a few years ago, probably 10, 8, I don't know exactly, there was introduced a new feature called distribute that is trying to solve this task of loading the operating system generic. How does it work? U-boot is scriptable with shell script, sort of, and as environment variable. Distribute is implementing with script a generic way to search for a bootable partition and then to search for a way to boot the operating system that it found. In short, you tell the board which are your boot devices, and then you just include this error that I mentioned here, and that's it. It's very easy to integrate. And what it searches for normally is a boot script with a fixed file name, searching either the first partition or the first active partition and execute its content. It can also parse an extlinux.com file that describes, let's say, how to properly load the OS. We will focus on the boot script that is more flexible. It allows really to do everything because it's really code. And the reason we focus on that is that this is what is supported by default on Debian. Xlinux is working also in Debian, but it's not the out-of-the-box experience you get from the Debian installer. The boot script, normally, what it will do in the end will be loading the kernel from some storage device, loading the device tree, loading your initrd, and then we'll just jump into your distribution. Cool. Let's move on the operating system side, Debian side. Debian has a package that is called the Flash Kernel, and it's really a glue package between the operating system and U-boot. I mean, Flash Kernel is a little bit more generic, but it's really able to integrate directly with U-boot, generating the boot script we just talked about. It's integrated into the Debian installer, into the ARM1, and integrates with the kernel packages out of the box using Gook. So it's supposed, you know, to just put everything together. Given that, you know, in theory it should be good. We have U-boot, we have this package, so what I did was I tried to go through the installation. I took one module, for instance, exactly the one that I just showed you before. Probably Debian is still installed there, and I just followed the instruction, okay? As easy as that, I decided to do a network installation just because it was at that moment the most convenient for me. But again, whatever is copied pasted here is just what you can find on the manual. End result, it was not working. Why? What I figured out is that Flash Kernel needs to know about the actual hardware to be able to properly generate a boot script. This is why this is required. This is required because it generates boot scripts that are really matching the exact hardware that you are running on. So you really need to tell the exact device tree file that then will be loaded in the boot script, and this is going to be part of the boot script. It's also possible to have custom boot scripts and have a sort of additional customization, but if your board is properly supported in U-boot, there is really not much to do apart telling use this flavor of the kernel and use this device tree. I mean, for instance, Debian ARM port is supporting two flavors for the kernel, ARM HF and ARM HF LPAE, and you need to tell which kernel flavor you want to use. What I did was just opening a merge request on the Debian GitLab instance, salsa.debian.org, and I mean, I am not a Debian developer nor a maintainer, I'm just a user, but my merge request was just reviewed and accepted, and now this, for instance, is part of Debian Bookworm. So it's just open for everybody to contribute. Cool. Then I wanted to try something else. Distribute at the moment is considered deprecated for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is that being implemented with shell script is a little bit cumbersome. It's very difficult to understand how it works. There are scripts that are setting global variables, and then other scripts will rely on the previous global variable that are set. I mean, if you look at this for the first time, we will just get lost. And there was also a need, a desire, a long-term plan for U-Boot to completely move to a K-config-based system, configuration system, and for that there was a need to remove some include file. As you saw before, distro boot is configuring through configuration include header. And that's the main reason standard boot was done. And I didn't have any board with this enabled myself, so what I did was just enable this on the board. I mean, it's trivial. This is just defining the boot targets that are just equivalent to what we discussed a few minutes ago regarding distro boot, and then enabling a few configuration options. From the integration to the distribution is pretty much the same. Standard boot is more generic. It supports also UEFI. I mean, it's more, but in the end, it integrates the same way with the Flash kernel package and is able to execute a boot script. The documentation is linked here, and I mean, it's way more than what I showed this here in this. It was a flash USB flash drive. And with that, I was just running that bootstrap from my PC directly on the target using USB. There are a few quirks to take into account because the architecture that my laptop is running is x86 while the target is, was an ARM. And for doing the second step of the bootstrap, you are going to execute target binaries. And this was really easy to be done also because as of today, using QEMU, use a static package, and using the bin format MISC support in the kernel, is really possible to run cross-platform ARM binaries on an x86 in a transparent way. And all of that is just integrated into Deb Bootstrap, and it's just a matter of installing this package. So I went through my Deb Bootstrap installation completed. I did all the required step, and then it was not working. That was what was missing this time, apart, of course, this board also was not supported. Today, this specific board is. What was missing this time was that the Debian kernel was not supporting the specific architecture. Again, the Debian kernel development is done on GitLab, on this GitLab project, and they are just open to taking merge requests, and it was really probably a free line change to enable this architecture in the kconfig. This is merged at the moment, and with that, finally, it was all working. Good. Last. Till now, I was playing around with old ARM 32-bit architecture, and I wanted to try, you know, something more modern, faster, okay? I was getting older and older with the old ARM processor, so I wanted to try with an ARM 64 system. What I realized is that the Debian standard for ARM 64 just expected to use UEFI. I believe that it would be possible to avoid it. Okay, it's not like it's a must, but if you just take the standard path, this is what is expected. And well, and I said, okay, U-Boot support a subset of UEFI. This is targeting this specification here that it's linked here. It has a few limitations. It's not a full-blown UEFI implementation. One of the main limitations at the moment is that it does not support this set variable at runtime. We will see in a minute why this is relevant. And in a very simplified way, hope that there is no expert on UEFI here, what U-Boot is doing is searching on a GPT partitioned device for a specific partition called ESP. It has a specific UUID, and into that it loads a binary in a UEFI format that is more or less a variation of the Windows portable executable, and it just executes it. Anyway, moving on, UEFI was not enabled in the board that I have available, but there are really no hardware dependency on this functionality. This is pure software, and it was just a matter of enabling it. And you can see it's a lot of configuration options, but there is really, it's just generic code. nothing hardware specific. Good. So I tried again to install Debian, and this time, let's say, it was working more or less smoothly. It was possible to get to the end without having to do any kind of customization. What was a little bit scary was the fact that the installer was erroring out during while making the system bootable. What it complained about was exactly about this set runtime variable, that set variable at runtime that I just mentioned before, that was not working, and the message is somehow scary. How this is working? UEFI is configurable, there are variables, and the operating system is able with the setting the boot order and boot 00, boot 001 variable to specify which device, and really, in practice, the file name into the ESP partition. This is really what this is about. Normally, any modern operating system will install with a specific file. I believe that for Debian might be something like debian.efi, I'm not sure. However, this is not possible at the moment because of this limitation in U-boot. Debian is able, nevertheless, to install with a fallback location. That is what is used for removable device. If you think about USB flash device or your CD-ROM, there is a fixed name that is a sort of fallback. Debian is able to install there, and with that I got a bootable system. I had, of course, a few small issues, I mean, about the fact that some functionality were not enabled in the kernel, but that was, you know, straightforward to solve. What I was wondering here at this moment is which device tree was being used. Because the device tree is really the hardware description of the board, okay, and this is critical for the OS to properly use the hardware. While using distroboot or standard boot, this is really well defined, and the flash kernel package is really telling you which device tree is using. With UEFI, this is really not visible. So I started digging a little bit on that, and what is used by default is the internal device tree from the U-boot. U-boot is also using the device tree for its configuration, and it's just able to pass it down to the operating system. Good. Here we are. So what's next? As you saw, as of today, with very small effort, it's possible really to run a pure Debian experience on an embedded target. Something that I assumed here is that you have upstream support for your device. I mean, this was the case for the hardware that I have available, but if you take a random board, this might not be the case, okay? And without that, Debian is not going to take your 1,000 patches, you know, just to enable one board, okay? This doesn't exist. Second, the integration, what is envisioned is that the device tree is really coming from the firmware, I mean, it's the hardware description. In practice, if you are familiar on how the development of the device tree works, that as of now are stored into the Git repository of the kernel, it's really an incremental approach. And you would really like to avoid, you know, to have to update the firmware when you update the device tree. I mean, this is just the reality that we have today. So it would be very nice to be able to take the device tree from the root file system, okay? However, it's complicated. When you boot with UEFI, normally you have an intermediate bootloader. You don't jump directly in the kernel. You go through grub. Grub is able to load the device tree, but the loading on the device tree is disabled when secure boot is enabled, for example. And the other issue is that normally the device tree is going through some fix-up on the while the boot firmware is executing, and if we the grub is loading it, this fix-up are not obvious to do. There is an implementation that is able to ask U-Boot to do this fix up afterward, but all of that is available as a patch, is integrated in Ubuntu and not in Debian and not in mainline. And then, I mean, we can make this even more complicated if we think about device tree overlays that are binary patches, and they are normally used for non-discoverable buses that are common. Think about an embedded device, I2C, SPI, or an LVDS display. And that's it. Opening for Q&A.
So, any questions?
Thanks for the nice talk. Just want to ask you, are you aware of the ISAR integration tool for Debian, ISAR? So we are doing heavily Debian on embedded devices, on industrial devices with that. And it also addresses the topic of not upstream firmware.
I mean,
kernels.
I'm not aware of this. I mean, I will have
you
a look.
Chat afterwards, yeah.
I was really focusing here on a pristine and pure Debian experience. I mean, there are tons of ways in which you can install Debian, tons of ways you can have a custom kernel. There are really a lot of possibilities, I mean, to reuse. I mean, I could have built probably 3 slides only on the options that are available. I was really willing to focus here, or I want to go Debian over, follow the instruction, and get it done. This was really my goal here.
Thank you for this presentation. I just didn't understand when it is booting from UEFI, mm-hmm. Ubuntu boots from UEFI, where Ubuntu is placed, where it is, in which partition or in MMC or where it is. You said Ubuntu boots from USB, if I understand correctly.
No, I was using USB just for the installation purpose, so I was just having the board available as it was a USB flash drive for the installation. Mm-hmm. After that, U-Boot was installed nevertheless together with the UEFI implementation on the EMSC boot partition.
Okay. This side. Thank you.
Okay, we don't have any time for any more questions, but thank you very much, Francesco. Brilliant.
Thank you.